So today we're going to continue in our Acts study that Nathan has been doing. Last week he taught out of Acts 8, the beginning, and so I'm going to be at the end of Acts 8 today. He talked about Philip and Simon the sorcerer, or Simon the magician. He talked about whether we had the right relationship or the reverse relationship with God. And then he kind of challenged us at the end, saying, are you using God, or are you allowing God to use you? So that's a good question. I think sometimes we get those two twisted. You know, we want God in our lives when we need him, when it should be we should have him in our life all the time, regardless. So this week, like I said, we're going to continue the Acts series. We're going to be studying out of Acts chapter 8 again, but we're going to be at the end of the chapter, verses 26 through 40. And we're going to see here the story of Philip and an eunuch that he meets on this road. And so we're going to read through a few verses, then we're going to stop and talk about it. But just a little background leading you up to this encounter. You know, Philip was in Samaria preaching alongside Peter and John. And after their time together, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem. And Philip, as we're going to read in verse 26, is asked to go somewhere else. And so here we're going to look at Philip and his willingness. But more importantly, I want you to, as we're going through this, to say, am I willing? As we're going through Philip's story, I want you to see what he's doing. And then ask yourself, am I willing? Am I willing to do something like Philip did? So again, like I said, we're going to start reading in verse 26. We're going to read 26 through 28 first. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. So God directs Philip to this road southwest of Jerusalem toward the city of Gaza, out in the desert. So this is, you know, probably a little shocking to him, because like I said, he was with Peter and John preaching. And if you remember last week, you know, we were talking about Simon, but in the times before that, they were having a good successful preaching time. I mean, they were, you know, winning souls and telling people about Jesus. But then God takes Philip and puts him in this deserted road. And we've all been on that deserted road before, right? We've all kind of been on this road of, what am I doing? Why am I here? But then God has a plan. He wants him to meet this eunuch on this road. So to give you a little background about Ethiopia, at that time it included Ethiopia and Sudan. And it attracted considerable attention in ancient Greek history because of its racial and ethnic features of people. Historians equated Ethiopia with the ends of the earth. And in those days, people located in the earth's fringes also received less honor. So the people who were the ends of the earth were not thought of very highly. So if you remember in Acts 1:8, Jesus told his disciples, and you will go and be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here, Philip meets someone on this desert road from Ethiopia, and just as we talked about, historians thought of Ethiopia as the ends of the earth. So here's Philip kind of going along with what Jesus told his apostles to do. So these initial instructions from God move Philip from a place of successful ministry with Peter and John to an isolated location. However, when he gets there, he finds that God does have someone that he is going to witness to. So this person is not only an Ethiopian, but he's an eunuch. And in those times, eunuchs were castrated males who often served in positions of significant responsibility. And as Luke mentions here in Acts, he has a powerful position as an official who was responsible for the treasury of the queen. So obviously this eunuch probably had money. You know, he was probably not alone on this desert road. He probably had guards and that kind of thing, especially if he's the treasurer of the queen. So I'm sure he was not alone. The chariot was probably a very nice chariot. I'm sure it wasn't just a wooden chariot with a horse. I'm sure it was a very nice thing that he was riding in. So he was an official. So anyway, the eunuch was also devoted to God based on his extended travel to Jerusalem to worship. Because the Ethiopian was reading from the book of Isaiah, it also implies that he was wealthy because he had his own copy for personal reading. You know, we take this for granted. You know, we can read the Bible so many different ways. If you're like me, I have a couple different versions of it. You've got the Bible app, you've got all these ways of reading, but in that time, they didn't have their own personal copies to read unless they were somebody that was well off and could afford it. So obviously he was wealthy. And it's possible that the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah because of the reference to Ethiopia receiving God's blessings. So let's continue reading verses 29 through 35. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran into the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So here we see that the Spirit instructed Philip to go up to this eunuch and talk to him. He ran up to the chariot, which indicates the chariot was moving, and overheard him reading Isaiah. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now, some people would have thought that was offensive. You know, here's Philip going up to this man who has authority and asking him this question. And probably, you know, thinking it was offensive. You know, who's this person appearing out of nowhere asking this official if he understands what he's reading? So the eunuch did not seem offended by his response. He just said, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So then he invited Philip to sit in the chariot, and he explained the passage from Isaiah to the eunuch. Jesus was the one who was gentle as a sheep and innocent as a lamb. He was the one who had been unjustly humiliated and slaughtered. This was the opportunity for Philip to tell the eunuch about the good news of Jesus. This was the reason he was there. He wasn't there just to be by himself. He was there at this particular time, at this particular moment, to talk to this eunuch and to share the good news to him. And I think about, we've talked about the story about the woman at the well. You know, Jesus did it then too. He went specifically there for her. And so he sent Philip specifically there for this eunuch to be able to share the gospel with him. God does that. He'll do that for us as well. He'll meet us specifically where we are when we need it. So let's continue reading verses 36 through 38. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And then some of the manuscripts, they leave out verse 37, but I wanted to add it in. It says, "You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And I love this. I love how, you know, it was just like an instant, "I want to be baptized." You know, he explained it to him. He explained the good news of Jesus, and then he saw water, and he instantly wanted to be baptized. He wanted to instantly do his outward, "I am the Lord's." And so I love that. So they traveled together, and Philip witnessed to the eunuch. Because of his willingness to go and talk to the eunuch became a believer. Philip also talked to him about baptism and its importance. And when the eunuch saw the water, he wanted to be baptized immediately, and Philip baptized him. So let's continue reading 39 through 40. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again and went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Axtos and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Philip's job was done. He was willing to go when asked. He met the eunuch. He talked and shared the good news with him. The eunuch was saved and baptized because of Philip's willingness to do what God asked him to do. And because of his willingness, the eunuch went on his way rejoicing and was a new creation in Christ. And then Philip just continued to travel and preach the gospel. So now we're going to go back through some of these verses and we're going to look at what we can learn from Philip. There's so much here in this little bit that we can learn from him. Now, you and I are not likely to be visited by an angel and instructed to go to a desert road. But we know that the Holy Spirit will guide us. And the Holy Spirit will ask us to go out of our comfort zone. And he will walk with us, and God will give us direction. You know, the eunuch was just going along in his chariot, reading out loud to himself, and then all of a sudden, here's Philip. And he overheard him, and he asked him if he understood the words, what the words were about. The Philip story is not so much about the eunuch as it is about Philip being used by God to help the man come to faith. So all Philip had to do in this encounter with a stranger was obey the Holy Spirit's prompting. We're prompted. You know, we're prompted to do things. We're prompted to go places. We're prompted to get out of our comfort zones. But how many times do we ignore them? I'm guilty of that myself. You know, Philip, he didn't have to pry open a hard heart with the eunuch. He didn't have to waste hours of conversation about the existence of God. He just needed to get the eunuch to the starting point of talking about the gospel. And, it, you know, a lot of times that's what we have to do. You know, we have to, sometimes when people approach you, I had a lady approach me in Lowe's, and very randomly, Randy was getting something, and I was on my phone. I was not paying attention to anything around me. And this lady walked up to me randomly and just started talking to me. And it was very, just a very odd. Randy's usually the one that people will just go up and start talking to, not me. But she just randomly started coming up and talking to me. And I probably talked to her 20 or 30 minutes. Randy was kind of in and out of the conversation. The woman was an atheist. And she was very hard-hearted, and two of her sons had died, and, you know, Randy was trying to, don't you want to see your sons again? You know, there's a way that you can see them again. And she was like, no, I had them. She didn't care anything about seeing them again. And so it was a very interesting conversation, but it just helped me realize that I need to be willing and be open to talking to people. I might have planted a seed that day. I hope I did. At some point, she was a believer, but she was very, very hard-hearted. But we just need to remember that if we're asked to go, if we're asked to do something, you never know what's going to come of that. So just remember that. You might even be in Lowe's, and somebody walks up to you randomly and talks to you. You just never know. So anyway, all the talk in the world could not replace the work of God that had prepared the eunuch ahead of time. Luke summarizes the conversation as the good news about Jesus. This was not a scripted conversation. For one brief afternoon, the stories of these two strangers intersected. Philip was doing his ordinary routine when the Lord prompted him to go to a specific place. And again, like I mentioned, you never know who you're going to come across when you are out and about. You never know where those people's faith, like where they are on their faith road. You know, they could have been in church, and then they got hurt. And so now they're just looking, they're searching. You might be the one that God sends there to them to help them find their way again, to open that door. Again, you just never know. So the eunuch was simply going home after worshiping in Jerusalem. But at one moment, their paths crossed, and one man's destiny was changed forever, all because Philip was willing to go. Philip was willing to go. So the first thing we can learn from Philip is be willing to go. Be willing to go. Are you willing to go wherever God asks you to go? Are you willing to go to the ends of the earth to witness to the lost? Are you willing to sacrifice the comfort of community and go along on a deserted road to minister to others? You know, Philip had just left this place, a successful ministry, to go to this isolated location. Yet he went without objection. He was willing to go wherever the Spirit asked him to go, regardless. So are you willing? Can you be willing to go? And some of you may ask, how do I know when God's asking me to go? When God speaks, it will be clear and not vague. The Holy Spirit gives us peace and joy and gets our attention when God speaks. And when God speaks, our human, sinful nature will argue with God, will I go or not? I've had those conversations. No, I don't think so. I don't think I'm qualified. And he keeps pushing. I'm like, no, it's not time. He keeps pushing. You have to be willing to go. And we have a great example here at our church from our team that went to Kildee. And, you know, we were willing to go. That's not, you know, going to another church is not the only place you need to go. You know, if he prompts you to talk to someone in a store, go. You know, if he prompts you to take a different way, go. You never know when those opportunities are going to come up. You never know when that person that crossed your path needed to hear you or see you or talk to you. You just never know. So you have to be willing. The Holy Spirit told Philip what to do, and he went near the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch was ranking official in charge of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. And chariots in those days are considered luxury cars, like those cars used by dignitaries. So today it would be an example, Lexus. I was thinking of a Land Rover. Or what's the more expensive cars, Caleb? Give me some examples. Tesla. There you go. Lamborghini. There. Now we're getting up there. Lamborghini. Yeah, Ferrari. There's another one. But those luxury cars is what the chariots were considered back then. So since the eunuch was a highly ranking official, I'm sure there were soldiers or bodyguards and a driver that was with him in his travel. You know, many times, you know, we are scared to share the gospel to public figures, to high-ranking officials, to a boss, to those who have better or higher status in our lives. You know, that feeling of being scared shows that we depend on ourselves. We choose to share the gospel to ordinary people who can't intimidate us. And that's usually what we do. We don't want to be in a position where we're outside of our comfort zones again. We don't want to go up to this person who has a title and talk to them about God. And I don't understand why we feel that way. We're willing to go and talk about our jobs. We're willing to go and talk about our vacations. We're willing to talk about everything else but God. When we need to talk about him first. You know, we need to have these relationships with these people and build relationships with them and talk to them about God. I mean, we may be the only Jesus they see. I say that a lot, but it's so true. We may be the only church they ever go into is us and our conversations with them. So we need to understand that they're no better than us, that God created every single person. Everybody puts their pants on the same way. You know, it's not that anybody is better than anybody else. Yes, they maybe have done better in their life and they have a title, but in the end, they're going to go one place or another. And there's no special place for those high-ranking officials. So we just need to remember that. We need to be able to share the gospel with others. We need to be willing to go as Philip was willing to go and talk to anybody and everybody when God puts them in our path. The Lord wanted Philip to witness to this official. God has prepared the eunuch, for he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he was already prepped. You know, we talk a lot about the soil, you know, planting those seeds in the soil. Well, God had already prepared that soil for him to be able to plant that seed. So it wasn't like Philip had to start from the beginning and get the conversation started. He was already in Isaiah reading, and he'd already been to Jerusalem and worshiping. So here, the second thing that we can learn from Philip is be willing to do. Philip was willing to go up to this official and talk. You know, he was willing to be on this road and do whatever he was supposed to do, whatever God asked him to do. The encounter between Philip and the eunuch was not ordinary. Philip was an evangelist. He traveled from town to town teaching others about God. The eunuch was a high-ranking official like we talked about, part of the upper class, someone who could have easily intimidated Philip. But God was with Philip. But God. I've been saying that a lot lately. But God. He gave him the courage needed to approach the chariot that the eunuch was riding in. He gave him the courage to speak to him, gave him the courage to ask, do you understand what you are reading? And God will do the same with us, as long as we're willing to do what he's asked us to do. He'll give us the same courage. If he asks us to witness to others, if he asks us to share the gospel, he will equip us. He will be with us every step of the way. And there's a lot of times that I've had conversations with people that when I get done, I'm like, that didn't come from me. That came from God. You know, he'll give you the right words to say. He will equip you to do what he's asked you to do. We must be willing to do what God asks. You never know the impact you have on others unless you do what you've been asked to do. How many opportunities have you missed because you've not been willing to do? You've not been willing to go. You've not been willing to do what God has wanted you to do. And I'm so guilty of that. I look back on my life and I wonder how many times I've missed people along my path that if I would have just stopped and stopped being so busy and paid attention and took that extra 5 minutes, how it would have changed all of our lives. It would have changed their life as well as mine. Because if you're willing to do and go for God, a lot of times not only are you going to affect others, it's going to affect you as well. So it's not all about others. It's also about you. It's growing your relationship with God. And so when I was going through this, I was thinking about David and Angela when I was here a few weeks ago. We had a visitor come in, and they sat on the back row, and they got through, I think, one or two songs. I can't remember exactly what. But I heard the door open, and the person left. Well, then David got up and went out after them. And a few minutes later, he came back in and got Angela, signaled for Angela, and Angela went out. Angela stayed out there with that person the whole service. She was willing to get out of her comfort zone and go out as God prompted her to do and talk to this person and minister to this person. And Angela came in bawling afterwards, but that's okay. I've learned in this road that I'm walking, the more real you can be with people, the more they're going to interact with you and the more effect you're going to have. So that made an impact on me because both of you were willing to do what God wanted you to do. You knew that that person needed some extra love that day, and you got up and did it. That's what we should do. It's not difficult. We just need to have our ears open and our eyes open and be willing to do what God wants us to do. So are you willing to do whatever God asks of you? Are you willing to approach even those who can intimidate you? Are you willing to get out of your community and go up to a stranger and share the gospel? Again, ask yourself, am I willing? So there's one more thing that we can learn from Philip. But this time, it's not an outward action, it's an inward action. It's, are you willing to sacrifice? Be willing to sacrifice. Being a Christian is not easy. Right. If somebody told you, oh, just become a Christian, life will be easy, huh? No. If anything, your target's bigger. It's not easy. Before meeting the eunuch, Philip was preaching alongside Peter and John. He was in a comfortable situation. He had people with him, and they were doing it as a team. You know, community is always easier than being alone. We all get in our groups, and we feel comfortable. It is important to be part of a community of believers. I'm not saying that's not important, because it is. But he also wants his disciples to go and make disciples. And he wants us to, as mentioned again in Acts 1:8, be a witness telling people about me everywhere. And that's kind of hard to do if all we think about is ourselves. Or that's kind of hard to do if all that we do is stay in this community of believers. So we have to get outside those four walls. We must sacrifice our desires for what God's desire is. And going back to what Pastor Nathan mentioned last week, are you using God or are you allowing God to use you? God must be number one in your life. Must be. Have capital letters. Must be. He must be above all other things, above your jobs, above your finances, even above your families and above yourself. God must be number one. And this is a backwards way of thinking in comparison to the world's way of thinking, where the world is all about me, me, me. What can I do to advance myself? We sing that song, Simple Kingdom. I want to read the bridge. It says, your kingdom is backwards. It flows in reverse. What you call a treasure, the world calls a curse. The small become great, and the last become first. Your kingdom is backwards. Lord, teach us to serve. As it is with your kingdom, let it be with your church. We have got to do things the opposite of the world. We have to understand that what he calls a treasure, the world calls a curse. Yeah. That the small will become great and the last will become first. We have to remember that. We have to learn to serve. That's what it's all about. Jesus gives us that example of serving. He did not come here on this earth for himself. He came here to die on the cross for us. He came here as a servant. Everything he did on this earth was for everyone else. It was not about him. It was not about his glory. You didn't see a bunch of lights around him. You didn't see him in a castle somewhere. He was here for us, every single one of us. So we have to remember that, that he came as a servant and we are to follow his example. Just like Philip gave up himself, sacrificed his wants to go and spread the gospel, we must be willing to sacrifice ourselves. God's kingdom is backward, but for those who've read Revelation, we know who wins in the end. God will make all things new for those who are willing to sacrifice themselves. You know, life can be hard as a Christian on this earth. But as I said, Revelation, we know who wins. And we know that what we have for eternity is so much better than we could ever have here, if we're just willing to sacrifice our wants and our needs for God's. So are you willing to sacrifice yourself for God? Are you willing to go against the world? Are you willing to give up your desires for God? You know, giving up self is hard. Guilty. Giving up self is hard. Getting out of your comfort zone is hard. Being willing to move is hard. But you know, God never promised us easy. If you've been around me, you've heard me say that before. He never, ever promised us easy. He did promise he'd be with us. We're never alone. In those valleys, we are never alone. So you've got to give up yourself. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. You've got to get out of these walls of the church and go and do. You know, I was trying to think of me and my life and just thinking about, you know, becoming a pastor. And it was very hard. It was very hard to step out. It's much easier to just kind of be in the background. But God worked on me and worked on me and worked on me and worked on me. And eventually, I said yes. I wish I would have said yes a long time ago. Because no, life has not been easy. And, you know, we're constantly targeted and we're constantly hit from all different directions. We could be for a couple of hours if you wanted me to be and tell you everything that's been going on in my life lately, but I won't bore you with those details, but it has been hard, but it has been worth it. You know, to be able to sacrifice what I want for him, that's what it's all about. That's what we're all called to do, not just pastors. Every single believer is called to die to self and do what he wants you to do. So again, are you willing? Am I willing? Just like the Spirit was there with Philip, the same Spirit is within us. The same Spirit is here. The same Spirit that was with Philip on that desert is here with us today. And that's hard to imagine, but it's true. That same Spirit that told Philip to go to that chariot is the same Spirit that prompts us to do things, to go to people and talk to people. That same Spirit that took Philip away in verse 39 is the same Spirit that will move us to our next appointed place. Again, ask yourself, am I willing? Am I willing? You know, not all of us are called to be missionaries and go to Africa. But we are all called to make disciples. If you are a disciple of Christ, you're called to make disciples. So are you willing to go to wherever he wants you to go, whether that's just down the street or that's 50 miles away? Are you willing to do? Are you willing to do what he wants you to do? Get out of your comfort zone. And then, are you willing to sacrifice? And that's hard, to sacrifice our wants and our desires. It'd be easier for me just to say, forget this. I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. I'm done. But that's not what I've been called to do. It's so much easier to do what the world wants us to do. But we have to have that reverse mindset. We have to understand that it's backward, that God's thinking is backward. But man, in the end, it all comes full circle and it's all going to be wonderful. So before we pray, and I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out, but as we stand together, and you can stand, thank you, and bow your heads, I'm just going to ask, is there anybody here that's willing to say, I am willing, you know, I'm willing to go and do and sacrifice for God? You know, I am willing to be whatever he wants me to be. If there's anybody that's willing to raise your hand, I would love to pray for you. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard. You know, I see those hands going up everywhere. I see them. It's hard to step out. It's hard to give it all up. But it's worth it. Join me in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. And we thank you for Philip's example of being willing to go and do. And he sacrificed for you, just as we're called to sacrifice for you, Lord. So those that raise their hands, thank you for being willing. God needs his disciples to be willing disciples. And as the days here on this earth get darker and darker and darker, he needs more willing disciples to go do and to sacrifice their wants for him. So, Lord, for those who raise their hands, help them. Send your spirit to them. Give them peace. Give them guidance. And may they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it is you that is speaking. Lead God and direct them. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit that's here today. And I love you. And I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. In Jesus' precious name, amen.